I'm Josie Rodriguez Boucher, and this is the Intersectional Fertility Podcast, where ideas and identities intersect to deepen our understanding of fertility and ultimately our whole selves.
Edit that one up.
Okay. So today I'm really excited to bring on a very special guest, my fiance, Melissa Comedina. We're going to chat about gender and queer culture and how that relates to fertility and see where the conversation takes us. So welcome, Melissa.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. tell us your pronouns, what you do in the world, and what you'd like to be doing in the world, and any interests or passions or anything about yourself you want us to know.
Yeah. So my pronouns are she, her, and I am a product designer. So I design websites and mobile apps or really anything that needs designing with people in mind.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then what would you like to be doing in the world?
Oh, well, I think you know that what I really want to be is retired so I can just do all of my hobbies.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really love what I do. I like being able to think about problems and different ways to solve them. Other than that, I really like to climb. Mm. So I really want to spend as much time as I can climbing.
Totally. And she's a badass climber for all you listening, in case you don't know. any other interests, passions you want to share?
Yeah, I don't know. Hanging out with you and our dogs.
Our cute doggies.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
I like to cook.
Oh, amazing cook.
Yeah. I like to weightlift.
Yeah.
Anything like physical, anything outside.
Yeah, totally. Okay, I'll answer the same questions for funsies.
Do you want me to ask you?
Yeah, you ask me.
Okay, what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are they, them, Joe.
Cool. What do you do?
What do I do in the world? I'm an acupuncturist and I specialize in fertility.
Cool.
I'm a writer. And a parent. And yeah, those are my main ones.
And then what would you like to be doing?
I would like to be doing more writing. That's what I'd like to be doing.
Yeah.
I really want to write a book.
Yeah.
So that's been on the back burner for years.
Mm-hmm.
Inching its way up to the front burner, hopefully. Yeah. I think that's it for mainly interests and passions. I know you didn't ask me, but I'm going to go ahead and answer.
I was getting there.
Hanging out with my friends.
Mm.
And I miss it.
I know.
And traveling. I miss traveling.
Yeah.
I'm a big traveler.
Yeah.
Okay. So
anyway.
So getting on with our convo about gender. So having spent most of my life in cis hetero spaces, I can say that gender is not thought about or discussed in the same way as it is in queer culture. When it did come up, I feel like it was under the guise of women's rights, if anything,
mm-hmm.
just or feminism, and mainly white feminism,
right?
In the circles that I was in or am in, gender wasn't really thought of as anything to be creative with.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more like the air that they breathe. You know, it's like invisible, it's immutable.
Right.
It's the way things have always been, the way things will always be kind of feeling. So something I noticed as I started to hang out more and more in queer circles was that gender was talked about more as your essence of who you are, mm-hmm. and more of like in creative terms, like what's, you know, what's your gender? Mm-hmm. Like, and that could be literally anything, mm-hmm. a food, a celebrity, you know, a place in the world, something like that. So anyway, I've just been really fascinated with how gender can be so creative, mm-hmm. in queer culture. So to me, that feels like a breath of fresh air. So I would love to know, like, what sort of things evoke your gender?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, as you know, as I mentioned, I'm a very physical person, an outdoorsy person. So I really feel my gender when I'm doing things where I feel strong. So whether it's lifting or climbing, you know, especially wearing like a muscle tank top or something, you know, that I really feel like my most badass, mm-hmm. self. Totally. And I really feel like in my gender. Yeah, I mean, I've kind of jokingly referred to myself as a gentle butch with my friends, and I also think that kind of sums it up very well. And that I don't think of myself as particularly tough.
You look tough, though.
You think so?
Yeah, you do look tough.
But I have such a nice face.
But you're like tattoos, and you're so strong.
Yeah.
And you have like short black hair. You just, I think you look really tough.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, some of that was like actually kind of conscious, because I felt like I should look a little more tough than I do. Mm. I've always looked kind of young and had like a very, like I'm the person on the street that people would always ask for directions.
Mm-hmm. Because you look so friendly and approachable.
Yeah. So I was like, we have to change this.
I have to look less approachable.
So I mean, like the tattoos and the hair, I don't know. I think I was just trying to like look the part a little bit.
Yeah.
And part of it, you know, again, was stuff that I was like very naturally drawn to. I wasn't really just like trying to be artificial or anything.
Right. Yeah, totally.
To take on something that didn't feel authentic.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, so I don't really get asked for directions anymore, but but I mean, I am kind of, I don't know, like kind of a sensitive, you know, little person.
And, you are very sensitive.
Yeah, very nurturing and mm-hmm. stuff, and I really like that part of my gender that can be, mm-hmm. You know, kind of like tough and mm-hmm. masculine in terms mm-hmm. of like doing physical things, but also like a very gushy person mm-hmm. too, and not everyone sees that side of me.
Totally.
But it's definitely a big part of who I am as a whole.
Yeah. What was that thing that I saw the other day about masculinity doesn't have a gender?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, I think my friend Minachi posted about that on their Instagram.
Uh-huh.
But I thought that really, it was like a light bulb went off for me. I was like, oh yeah, masculinity does not have a gender.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. any gender can have masculine presentations.
Right.
Depending on the day or.
Right, right.
Whatever.
Totally.
Yeah. I love that. And then something that you said one time was that you wanted to do masculinity better.
Better than men.
Than men.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Is it a perennial goal? Yeah, so for good. Sure. Well, I love that because, you know, I think a lot of folks do have masculine qualities, you know, regardless of how they identify. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I mean, you know, of course, queer culture is more conscious
yeah.
of that, and it's more celebrated to, mm-hmm. to you know, be into both your feminine and masculine parts.
Right. Or neither.
Or neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much nuance.
You know, like you said, like these are conversations that you and I and others have all the time.
Right.
And it's just, it's strange when when I talk to like straight yeah. friends and you're like, oh, you're not constantly talking about gender with your husband? Or...
yeah. That's literally all we talk about.
Yeah. Like, you don't know precisely what your gender is. Okay.
At any given moment. I remember one night you were like, out of the blue, you were like, babe, what's your gender? And I was like, and I thought about it, but like instantly I had this vision of Atreyu from The Neverending Story.
Mm-hmm. Which I still haven't which seen. You haven't seen. I just nod.
And... we still have to watch that soon. Yeah. yeah. And you're like, ah, yes. Yeah. Atreyu. But anyone who's in their 40s might know, remember Neverending Story, Atreyu. That's part of my gender. Mm. Another thing I thought was cute when I first met you. was I'm bringing up some oldies.
Yeah. Remember this time?
is what your Bumble profile said. I thought that was a good description of your gender at the time. Do you remember what it said?
It said fancy dirtbag.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I was like, swipe right.
I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what a fancy dirtbag is. It sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, I would say I'm not as much of a dirtbag these days, yeah. But yeah, you know, I like the finer things in life. I like a yeah. nice charcuterie board, even when I'm roughing it.
And yeah.
Camping out.
So. Which is why we're together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to answer these questions now too.
Okay.
What my gender is. So for me, things that evoke my gender are Atreyu from Neverending Story, like yeah. I mentioned. Timothy Chalamet, really, I feel like I don't even necessarily like want to dress like him or be like him, but just how he is in certain, well, movies, I guess, that I've seen, because obviously I don't know him as a person.
Yeah, what do you think, like, what are the...
Well,
the scenes where you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that scenes. Resonates.
I mean... I love, as you know, Call Me By Your Name. Mm-hmm. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. And it just reminded me so much of living in Italy when I used to live there. And just, I think I did feel really close to who I really am when I was living in Italy. Mm-hmm. I've lived there a couple times, but the second time when I was on a farm that was very similar, it was an old castle and working organic farm, like kind of similar to the one that they are staying in that movie. Were they in France? No, they were in Italy, right?
No, he just spoke French.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's something about that. Like, I used to be quite lanky. And so I think I feel like an affinity there,
right.
even though I'm not as lanky as I used to be. And just, I don't know. He has like kind of a cool air that I want to adopt.
He's a little surly.
He's a little you know, kind of has like an edginess to him but that I like and want to like aspire to more. I don't know, I just really I dig his energy. And also I really dig Charlotte Gainsbourg. Her energy, she's like my style icon. I just adore
she's
her
very cool.
Oh my god, she's so cool. And then just in general, like other things that kind of evoke my gender for me are poetry, art exhibits, shows. You know, I used to just go to shows all the time.
Right.
Growing up.
Person about town.
Yeah, a person about town, like city life, you know, like leather boots and a leather jacket and Mexican food, cuisine, you know, mole, which is, I think, from Oaxaca, South America. Traveling, you know, all of those things kind of evoke my gender for me.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think my gender is?
Well, you kind of, like, when I think of you, it's, like, very cool. Like, very, like, cosmopolitan. Yeah, you brought up, like, the black leather jacket. Like, that's kind of how I picture you. Like, just, like, wearing, like, little cigarette jeans with your black jacket. And you're going to, like, some sort of, like, cool art opening where you, like, know the owner or something, you know? It's just like, what? Like, your Denver roots run deep. So I kind of – I think about your gender as someone who – doesn't really have anything to like prove. They're just cool because that's who they are.
Thanks, babe.
But you're also not gross, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So well done.
Good on you.
Yeah.
As they say in New Zealand. Oh, that's cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's sweet. So all of this conversation kind of that came about between us got sparked after a therapy session that we had. Shout out to Julie.
Yeah, Julie.
We have the best therapist in the world and we love her. And we were doing an exercise with her about exploring and personifying our essence, like the essence of who we are. And as we were doing it, it reminded me so much of our gender conversations.
Right.
Which kind of sparked the idea for this podcast episode. And then also my ears always perk up when I hear the word essence, because that is the word for fertility in Chinese medicine. And so I always am so interested to hear or learn about or think about other ways of interpreting that word. And so I really think that, you know, by putting two and two together with this conversation, it to me, it feels like as a queer person, you know, really exploring your gender really translates to exploring your essence and your fertility and gaining more access to your fertility.
Yeah.
And being able to create another human, which I think is so cool. So anyway, that's where kind of the inspo came from for this episode. But I wanted to talk a little bit about like sun goat.
That sun goat was never gonna leave that therapy session, but here we are.
But sun goat is so cool.
I like sun goat. So sun goat was okay. In all honesty, I think I slightly misunderstood the assignment. And I had a hard time coming up with like the personification, or what do they call it when it's the animal? Anamorphs.
What's that word? It's a long word.
Anthropomorph.
Oh, there you go.
Ism.
You got it.
Of an essence. But, you know, I'm a Capricorn, so goat.
Right.
So that was like, all right, goat.
I'm a goat.
Let's go with that. And and I like sun. Sun, really, God is so crucial to my happiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do goats do? They just hang out in the mountains. They climb on rocks.
They're climbers.
Know, yeah. They hang out with their buddies and, you know, get hugs. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, like that's really all I need. That's when I feel my most relaxed. That's when I feel my most satisfied, is when, you know, I'm outside in the mountains with, you know, good company, and I'm just really enjoying that like sensual experience of being outside and in the elements.
Totally. I love that. I love thinking of you as a sun goat.
Do you think it represents me well?
I do.
Yeah.
I do think it represents you well. And I don't know. I think I can totally see that fitting into your gender also.
How so?
Just like you were saying, like things that make you feel, I mean, maybe you were talking about things that make you feel strong, but I guess that's sun goat is something in my eyes that makes you feel happy. So to me, that feels like an important aspect of gender.
Yeah. Because I think another aspect of my personality is kind of Eeyore-y. What is he? Eeyore's like a donkey or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a sad donkey.
Yeah. But I feel like goats and donkeys are like
similar vibe.
Yeah. Or just like similar family, maybe.
Yeah.
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 You know, the horses, and they're all kind of in that same group of animals.
Right. They're all horse-like.
Maybe. Somewhere some like zoologist is like, oh my god, no.
I
think, yeah. Sorry. I think you're right. I think sun goat is kind of like the other side of the coin, of my personality, and my gender,
maybe more the softer side.
Yeah, I feel like goats are a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, more springy.
Sure. Yeah.
They jump around.
Totally.
Yeah. What do you feel like kind of getting in terms of, so like, you know, most of my focus is fertility. people who want to make babies.
Yeah.
I know you don't.
No.
So how
fur babies.
Yeah, only. Fur babies. But like, how would that sort of tapping into more of your essence of who you are and your gender help you to really zero in on creating in general? Like creating, you know, more of what you want to be doing?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. How do you, is there a connection there at all for you?
I feel like there ought to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, like I said, like as a designer, there's no shortage of problems to solve. I mean, I think, you know, I would love to work on things that relate to the environment or outdoor access or recreation. Right. I mean, that would just be very hand in glove with, you know, where I like to be.
Right.
And what I like to do in my free time.
Right.
I think when I'm really feeding that sun goat part of myself, too, that's when I feel the most relaxed and content, which of course is, you know, the space you need to be in to create and
totally.
I imagine procreate.
Yeah. So true.
So, so I think that's what it does. You know, I used to live in New York. Everyone in New York is doing something. They're hustling. But I don't know. I felt pretty empty when I was living in New York just because it wasn't really feeding, you know, that physical outdoor part of myself that's so core to who I am. You know, I think I was learning that at the time too.
Right.
But whereas now, you know, I feel a lot more contentedness.
Being in Colorado. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's more sunny.
Yes.
More rocks.
More rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's just more of the lifestyle too. For sure.
Totally. That's cool. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I just to even the score for you, I wanted to bring in my essence, which is Joe.
Yeah.
So that you're not the only one.
Does Joe
bringing in your
I'll let you explain
essence
Joe
therapy.
As an essence. But I'm also curious how Joe the essence of Joe any different from your gender, or how does it complement your gender?
Good question. The essence of Joe. Yeah, I feel like say that again. What's the
can you describe Joe as an essence?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of what I was talking about before, where it's like kind of like a cool vibe, you know, of like, more like that city life.
Yeah.
Kind of that. I feel like that's where I really thrive and feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I like that about my gender.
Right.
About of that. Kind of shows up. So how does it complement?
Or, I mean, would you say it's any different from how your gender? Like
Joe?
Yeah.
No, I think
they're
Joe,
one in the same.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Cause when our therapy assignment was, that was my essence was Joe. And yeah, I think it's very similar.
So you kind of understood essence as gender right away.
I did.
Which I didn't.
Yeah.
I was
right. That's interesting.
Who am I when I'm my best self? Kind of how I understood it.
Oh, interesting.
But I think it's interesting that you you were just like, oh, it's my gender.
Right. Well, and then isn't your gender your best self?
I mean, it is. I guess I just was thinking like, what am I when I'm feeling my best.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, like I said before, you know, I feel really good when I'm strong, when I'm wearing, you know, little tight band t-shirts, like Anthony and Queer Eye. Yeah. So I think they're, I guess for me, they were related, but not necessarily the same.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because to me, I think I've spent so much time more recently than you. Exploring my gender, that to me it felt like, oh, that's that it, why it felt one and the same to me is it was like, oh, well, that's like my most expressed self. So it felt like this has got to, you know, it has to be like my best self,
right?
Or my essence. So yeah, automatically I was like, oh, that's like the same thing.
Right.
That's so interesting that you didn't think that.
Yeah, but I also think it was very perceptive of you to to interpret it that way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We're so different.
I was going to say, like, it's interesting that our, you know, my little gender is in the mountains and, and your little gender is in the city. And I guess we meet in the suburbs.
Yeah, that's where
at the end of the day, yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
All right. I love you.
I love you.
Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Is that it?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Dunsy.
Tidy.
Yeah.
Mwah. Thanks, babe.
To celebrate our launch and thank all of you amazing folks joining this community, we're doing a giveaway. So this is how it will work. Leave a written review of the Intersectional Fertility Podcast on your favorite podcast platform before 11:59 p.m. Mountain Time on Saturday, April 17th. 5 lucky winners will be announced on our next podcast on April 24th, and they'll each receive an Intersectional Fertility mug. Good luck! Thanks for listening to the Intersectional Fertility Podcast. You can find us online at intersectionalfertility.com and on your favorite podcast platform. If you like the show and want to hear more, tap subscribe. And please consider leaving us a review. It really, truly helps. The Intersectional Fertility Podcast is hosted by me, Josie Rodriguez-Boucher, with audio production by Bryce Anderson Gregson and music by Jen Cordy. Thank you.